so seductive. I take you to the candy shop. I let you the lollipop. Go ahead, girl, don't you stop.
So whenever Alex Andrade comes on the show, we like to play a little old school rap or something in that vicinity. I hope we did okay this time. Alex Andrade is our state representative for District 2. Session begins on Tuesday. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. And yeah, that that 50 Cent song came out, I think, when I was in eighth grade, so it's perfect.
Ideal time for your musical formation history. All right, you've got a bunch of bills filed, as happens every single year. Let's just kind of walk through a little bit what you hope to accomplish here. Tell me about the funding one for IHMC.
So it's not a funding bill.
Oh, okay.
As much as it's a governance bill. So the bill I filed for related to IHMC really tries to put it on par with like the Moffitt Cancer Research Center down in Tampa. So Moffitt, like IHMC, was created by state law. It's like a kind of like a quasi public entity.
Moffitt, I didn't know that. I thought it was just a private collection of researchers. That's interesting. Go ahead.
And so IHMC and Moffitt were both created with like public governance in mind, and Moffitt at some point had their statute changed to allow them to like roll off some of their own IP but still control it, and kind of like put some of their research and intellectual property to good use and to practical application. This bill is designed to like set up the governance structure similar to what Moffitt has to allow IHMC to do the same thing in the realm of the technology they're developing.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, this is something that sounds like developed very much in partnership with IHMC and gives them a little bit more, persistent control of the things that they create, which is, it seems like a very good thing to me, basically.
Yep.
Okay.
I agree.
You also have, you've refiled your bill for bond, and having read this one, I'm assuming it seems very similar to the one you filed before, which is you want to be able to protect grandma who gives the grandson bond and getting her money back. But if the son or his wife put up the money, that needs to be subject to paying for court fees and costs. You just don't want grandma to lose the bond money. Is that kind of the gist of this bill?
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's already gone through its first committee, so hopefully it continues to move.
What thwarted this last year? Because it seemed such a common sense bill last year.
Well, I didn't file it last year. I think I filed it three times, but I gave it a break last year.
Okay.
It's always been an issue in the Senate. It's never really been an issue in the House.
Okay.
I think some folks who like want to be tough on crime, or at least want to act like they're tough on crime, and they're not really thinking through like how criminal justice actually works, and the fact that like this bill doesn't actually address bond or people getting in or staying in jail. All it says is, once someone signs their guilty plea or is found not guilty or is found guilty by a jury, what happens to that money? Well, if it's a third party that posted that money up for bond and they made sure someone showed up to court, they should get their money back.
And as I recall our conversations about this, the key thing you're worried about is that you want somebody to be able to provide bond for these folks, particularly if they turn out to be acquitted, but you don't want them to have to think, well, gosh, I'm going to lose a bunch of my money if I help out my relative later if they happen to be convicted, right?
Yep.
Seems sensible to me. We'll see how that goes. One that's made a lot of news is your marijuana proposal, and I have not read this one, so tell me what is in this. But I see a general, like, aren't we going to have, I don't know, like a board or somebody's going to meet to talk about marijuana proposals in general, because this is such a complex and challenging topic for the state?
Marijuana or hemp?
Oh, either one. You tell me.
Well, so there's a hemp board, and it's made up of like the commerce side, I guess, of like some policy subcommittees. But this bill deals with the medical marijuana program.
Okay.
In Florida. Medical marijuana program. The bill essentially just kind of like expands and improves the medical marijuana program. Like it has some technical changes. Like it says honorably discharged veterans have their fees waived when they apply for a medical marijuana card. It makes it easier to get a medical marijuana card. It allows for telehealth, allows for 2-year renewals instead of annual renewals for medical marijuana cards. And then it also, importantly, allows for home grow for the first time in Florida. I mean, the bill is really just a response to the fact that 56% of Floridians voted in favor of recreational on Amendment 3 at the last ballot. this doesn't create a recreational, but it does work to improve our regulatory framework for medical marijuana, and also does allow for home grow. Up to two plants can be homegrown by any specific individual. So it addresses the public consumption aspect. It increases heavier penalties for public consumption so that people don't deal with, like, the smoke in public places issues or concerns. But it does inject, hopefully, some common sense into what is and has been for the past 6 years, while I've been there, a nonsensical policy topic.
Yeah, and it's certainly been something that, you know, even though we had a majority pass the amendment, it didn't pass the threshold to get to actually enactment. I was glad for that. But, you know, let's recognize the political reality of where we are and, you know, concede the things you need to concede and strengthen the things that ought to be strengthened, right?
Yep.
To Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2. Session starts Tuesday. Some of his bills, we're just kind of walking through things he's got on the agenda. You've got this one, HB 1319, the jurisdiction of the Public Service Commission relating to water and wastewater. I know Channel 3 was running some news about this last night. What's this one about?
So this bill is really just a companion bill to something that Senator Gates has filed. It relates to, like, how the Public Service Commission operates in the rate-setting process for things like investor-owned utilities like FPL, Duke, or TECO Energy. It expands the number of people on the Public Service Commission from 5 to 7, and, you know, it requires certain data points to be added into the consideration during the rate-setting process. From my perspective, I mean, if I had learned anything from 2022 and that kind of blow up at the beginning of the year, you know, from electricity rates, it's that a lot of folks don't understand the process and they don't have comfort with how this process is administered in rate setting. So I think anything that we can do to show that we're, you know, we're striving for the best possible system, the fairest possible system, I think it's a good idea. So I'm happy to work with Senator Gates on that policy. I'm going to have to dive in more on the policy itself to know where my feelings are on any specific method of improving that process, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. No, I mean, it sounds like you're working with him to give him a House companion for his bill. You know, and as often happens, bills may get amended as important distinctions or conversations or, you know, things you catch come up.
Well,
so
he's been collaborating with senators, and I know that there's some language coming down the line on his end from senators with other ideas.
Okay.
The bill is going to look different most likely as it moves, just because you're incorporating ideas. But, yeah, that's one where, I mean, I am all for making sure the Public Service Commission is completely above board and can show that show their math and show that they're actually protecting the interests of constituents, as well as, you know, the Office of Public Counsel. So I'm happy to work through that policy with them.
You're also filed HB 123, an education bill. Is this the one for the allowing, like, Pensacola to create charter schools, or is that a different one?
It's similar to the bill last year. I think it's also probably going to have some minor tweaks over time. But yeah, so, like, the idea is that, you know, it'll allow parents to convert public schools to charter schools if parents so choose. It also avoids the kind of, like, a troublesome aspect of land banking some school districts do to, like, try and prevent charter schools from ever popping up in their counties. Mm. So it's a bill very similar to last year's bill, and I anticipate it being heard on the House side probably the first week or two.
Okay, very good. And then the one that made me laugh the most, I thought it was sort of your your most fun bill, which is officially HB 69, Regulation of Presidential Libraries. maybe explain this bill for people, because it's funny.
Well, you know, I don't happen to think that the Palm Beach area is the, you know, conservative stalwart in Florida, but it's most likely the county municipality that President Trump is going to, you know, identify as where he wants to put his presidential library, like maybe that or like Doral down in Miami. And so the bill, the whole premise of the bill is a local government, like a planning board or a zoning board or county commission or city council, cannot hold up a development order or a planning permit or prevent in any way the lawful construction of a presidential library here in the state. Like, all of the land use decisions on the construction of that presidential library are preempted to the state, so we can avoid, you know, are there crazy people on local boards here in Northwest Florida, Andrew?
I may say that we certainly could make the case that, yes.
Oh, at least there's always the risk that there's one or two crazy folks that end up on the local board at some type of level. And you don't want that to inhibit the ability of President Trump to build his presidential library, the first presidential library here in the state. So it's a bill just to make sure that he should be allowed, without any kind of weird, ridiculous procedural machinations, to be able to build his presidential library where he sees fit, when he sees fit.
I try to imagine the size of the explosion of the heads of the various boards and commission and council members in South Florida as they read this bill and think about the implications for when President Trump most assuredly decides that he's going to build his presidential library in their backyard and they won't have any say in it or ability to Chinese inspection it to death. I love the bill. Alex Andrade, he is our state. Anything else you just want to let us know about? Any big stuff we should have on our head? I mean, I know this question could take you an hour to answer, but particularly as we're, you know, starting into session, anything you particularly want us to be looking out for or paying attention to?
We're going to be doing a lot in healthcare. While I'm proud and I look forward to working through all these different bills that I've filed, I mean, like, my big job is the $46 billion healthcare budget and crafting that for the House. So, there might be some stuff in that aspect, especially related to, like, cancer research. If you're looking at fights, you know, or disagreements, we have already some pretty clear fault lines, battle lines drawn between the governor's office and the legislature on, like, how we spend our cancer research money, of all things. So there will be some things that are public, some things that are private disputes between the different bodies, and it's all part of the process to get our healthcare budget crafted. But that'll be my, you know, $46 billion, that'll be my main focus for the next couple months. In between, I'll have some fun presenting some bills.
So you get to manage a $46 billion budget. That's nine figures. It's 11 figures, I guess. And you come back home and you help manage your household finances at a significantly lower level. It's got to be disappointing, no matter how high it is. So it's got to be different. Alex Andrade, always a pleasure. Thank you for your time. State Representative for District 2. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.